Welcome to The Source Podcast, powered by WHYY News and Billy Penn. This collection of stories from the WHYY Newsroom offers fresh insights into the neighborhoods and local communities across the Philadelphia region. From Center City to the Pennsylvania suburbs, South Jersey, and Delaware, get to know the issues and the people that make your community tick. This is The Source. I'm your host, Kenny Cooper. A large junkyard fire blazed in Delaware County on July 15th, sending dark smoke billowing toward Philadelphia. The fire burned in a pile of scrap metal at a facility owned by a multinational company called EMR. Across the river in New Jersey, EMR's scrap metal recycling facilities have been the site of repeated fires. The company is also facing lawsuits from the New Jersey Office of the Attorney General and several residents. An investigation by WHYY News and The Margin looked into EMR's impact in the predominantly Black and Latino city of Camden, New Jersey, as well as the city's efforts to prevent fires at the company's sites. Sophia Schmidt is a reporter for WHYY News. She covers the environment for WHYY News' Climate Desk and Plan Philly. Kimberly Painter is a visual journalist for WHYY News. Katrina Janko is a freelance journalist and fact checker based in South Jersey. Together, the three help tell the story. Sophia, Kim, and Katrina, welcome.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for having us, Kenny.
Thank you so much.
Katrina, I want to start with you. What is EMR and what does it do in Camden?
Sure. So EMR, which stands for European Metal Recycling, is a multinational scrap metal recycling company that has five industrial facilities in Camden's Waterfront South neighborhood, where it buys, disassembles, sorts, and shreds scrap metal, which comes from things such as household appliances, cars, or, you know, sort of materials on the cutting floor and at other industrial businesses. EMR has other facilities throughout the country and in other countries around the world. In addition, their corporate headquarters are in Camden in the old RCA Victor building in Camden's Cooper Grant neighborhood.
So, Sophia, there's been 14 fires at EMR facilities in Camden since 2020. What do we know about the health impacts of these events?
So some of these fires have been bigger than others. Some have sent these huge plumes of dark smoke over the city, and several have caused residents to evacuate their homes. So we spoke with several residents that live within just a few thousand feet of these facilities who described experiencing health symptoms during and immediately after these fires, such as coughing, trouble breathing, or nausea. Many also have concerns about what the long-term impacts to their health or their children or their other family members could be from exposure to the smoke. So smoke generally contains really tiny particles that can get deep into your lungs and even into your bloodstream and can trigger heart and lung issues. I also spoke with air quality and environmental health experts about what might be in the smoke from these fires in particular, based on what is burning, which is scrap metal. You know, it might contain plastics. And they said that likely this smoke also contains toxic heavy metals and potentially other cancer-causing air pollutants.
Now, Sophia, what has the company been doing to control these fires?
So after a really large fire last February, which caused about 100 people to evacuate their homes, the city and the company signed a memorandum of understanding, which covered, you know, some kind of community investments, reimbursements to the city. But a big piece of it was fire safety. So under this agreement, the company agreed to upgrade the water lines into the facility, increase inspections of material coming into the facilities. And probably the biggest piece was this new fire suppression system that the three of us actually got to see in action. We toured the facility and had a demonstration where there's, you know, picture this huge pile of scrap metal, crunched up cars and construction debris, and around it were these towers where water cannons were positioned. And the way it works is that there's thermal imaging cameras that surveil this pile for hot spots heating up. And when a hot spot hits a certain temperature threshold, it can automatically activate the system, and these nozzles will spray the pile with water, and they can automatically point toward the source of the fire.
Now, Kim, as a visual journalist, it's your responsibility to give readers eyes into the story. How did you visualize this story? What did you see during your tour of this facility?
Kenny, I think it was so important to just include images of how much waste was there and how much waste we make as a society. Piles of cars, pipes, aluminum siding, whatever you can think of that's metal was there. And there were just trucks bringing more and more in. I think it was also important to have images of fires that had happened that I personally wasn't there for. So I am grateful to the people who went out with their drones and their phones and, you know, risked their own health to capture how dramatic those fires were.
And Sophia, I understand that there was a big fire in May that led to a flurry of activity. What happened?
Right. So this past May, it was just weeks after this new fire suppression system had been installed and we had toured the facility. Another fire happened at the same metal shredding facility in South Camden. And the response was pretty different this time. So the fire grew to two alarms, which meant the city's entire firefighting force had to respond. The county even detected hazardous levels of smoke just south of homes at one point during the morning. And city, county, and state elected officials called for this facility to be shut down permanently. A couple days later, the city suspended a license that the facility had and ordered it to cease operations. There was then this legal battle that ensued where the company sued the city. They considered a settlement. The city ultimately rejected the settlement. And then the judge handed a win to EMR. EMR had argued that this suspension was groundless and they hadn't gotten their due process. And the judge stopped the city from enforcing its cease operations order, which allowed EMR to restart its shredder site in mid-July.
Gotcha. Now, Katrina, walk us through the environmental justice angle of this story.
Sure. So a big reason how we got here today is land use history in the area. With respect to EMR, three of the five facilities have been there for decades, and it was operated by a company that still exists and is operational today, Camden Iron and Metal. The reason their facilities are so close to residential areas is because the city at large developed and grew way before we cared about the environment in the late 20th century, while the surrounding areas don't have that same industrial and environmental legacy. And even today, the reasons Camden was once an industrial powerhouse are the same reasons that industrial businesses are still attracted to locating there to begin with. For example, you know, mostly its proximity to Philadelphia and the Delaware River. And this history is further exacerbated by a larger dynamic where residents in the surrounding suburbs, who are mostly middle to upper class white people, have more political power than the city's residents, who are more likely to be low income, you know, Black and Latino residents. That, combined with the land use, has created a situation where Camden has been the place where anything residents don't want goes.
Sophia, what does the company have to say about all of this?
So EMR says that they value their place in Camden and that they want to be a good neighbor and that they do prioritize safety. They say that the real issue here is lithium-ion batteries, which can be very flammable when they're damaged. And they have proliferated in consumer goods in recent years. EMR says that they are found in cars, in motor scooters, even in light fixtures that come to their facilities. They are banned at their facilities, but EMR says they are hard to detect and they can sneak in anyway. So as they reopen, they have outlined a fire safety framework that includes better inspections, more training of employees, and a constant fire watch at the facility.
Now, Kim, is there an image from this story that has stuck with you?
There's a scene in the documentary at a community garden where there were middle school students learning how to garden, and they had pulled up a bunch of worms, and they had them all in their hands, and they were showing them to me. And it just made me think about who can really benefit from, you know, clean air, clean soil, and a healthy environment.
And Katrina, what's the bigger picture here? Obviously, this story is about Camden, New Jersey, but there's an undercurrent of themes here that seem to be applicable to places across the country, across the world even.
Yeah, it's a larger question of what we do with objects and things and materials when we're done with them. You know, you can shut down EMR, but where's the scrap metal going to go? It's part of a larger question of how we treat waste, how we think about reusing things and repairing things or not, and sort of, you know, the usefulness and utility of recycling, because there are environmental costs and things associated with recycling that are not neutral. You know, recycling is better than, say, mining, but there is still an environmental cost to recycling that we don't like to think about, and we probably should.
Well, Sophia, Kim, and Katrina, thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Kenny.
Thank you so much.
To read the investigation Up in Smoke and see photos and video, go to whyy.org or themargin.us. I'm Kenny Cooper. You're listening to The Source. We've been talking with WHYY's Sophia Schmidt about her reporting on fires at EMR's scrap metal recycling facilities in Camden. She spent weeks reporting in the community, talking to neighbors about health impacts the fires have caused and their fears for what future incidents might bring. She also got an inside look at the company's efforts to help keep the fires under control. She filed this story to help the community find answers.
Christina Allen turns on an air purifier in her row home in South Camden.
We have a good few. There's that one, and then I have two black ones.
Allen worries about the air quality in her neighborhood and how it impacts her family, especially the health of her five-year-old. Just blocks away, EMR's five scrap metal recycling facilities cover an area the size of about 36 football fields. They've caught fire at least 14 times since 2020, in some cases sending hazardous levels of smoke over the neighborhood. Allen evacuated her home during three of these fires, including one last year that grew to four alarms, forcing about 100 people to seek shelter at nearby hotels.
I feel like I have PTSD as to when any time I smell anything on fire, like it just instantly sets me back to EMR in that fire.
Allen's mother, Felicia Biles, has long COVID, and during the last evacuation in 2025, she scrambled to grab her rescue inhaler and oxygen before hurrying out the door.
When I came home after the second night, I could still smell the smoke. I couldn't breathe.
After the fire that caused around 100 people to evacuate, the city of Camden signed an agreement with EMR meant to improve fire safety, including installing a new $3 million fire suppression system.
We're heading into the shredder now.
The company's USA CEO, Joe Balzano, invited WHYY News inside EMR's facilities for a tour this spring. A mountain of crunched cars and mangled construction debris sat at the end of a long conveyor belt leading into the shredder building.
Get these guys to turn on the fire suppression for you.
Balzano showed us the new system of water cannons positioned around the pile meant to contain any potential blaze.
There's four water cannons on this facility.
The cannons swiveled back and forth, spraying powerful streams of water onto the pile of junk. Balzano explained the system can turn on automatically when thermal sensors detect hot spots in the pile.
So the way they work is that if the thermal imaging cameras detect heat at anything over 225 degrees, it automatically turns them on.
With these changes, do you feel confident that they will prevent any fires in the future?
I think they'll allow us to dramatically control anything that could happen. So we wouldn't have the issues that we've had. You wouldn't get to that scale. I don't believe it will ever stop one from starting, just because of the nature of most consumer goods.
Goods like cars, electric scooters, and even light fixtures that Balzano says can conceal flammable lithium-ion batteries. But a few weeks after he gave us the tour, another fire broke out at EMR's facility.
911, where's your emergency?
Hi, I'm in Camden City. I'm standing with Broadway and Carl Miller. There's big, black, billowing clouds of smoke. You can hear things popping and exploding. I don't know if it's coming from the recycling plant, but something's on fire. It's on fire bad.
All of the city's nine fire companies worked to extinguish the blaze. County hazmat officials detected hazardous levels of air pollution just south of homes in Allen and Biles' neighborhood. And the city advised residents to stay indoors for several hours. Camden's fire chief said EMR's new fire suppression system helped control the fire, but one of the water cannons did not turn on right away. The fire prompted calls from elected officials, including Camden Mayor Victor Karstarfin, for the shredder facility to be shut down.
enough is enough. The city has worked with EMR to improve facilities, but today, this morning, having another two-alarm fire that occurred is truly unacceptable.
EMR employs more than 500 people in Camden, including close to 200 people who live in the city. Dozens of them marched from the facility to City Hall to protest the officials' calls to shut them down. Roy Houghton lives in Camden and works at EMR's shredder facility, keeping the ground clean and spraying water to tamp down the dust. His two sons also work at EMR.
So I definitely need my job. I think a lot of people out here need a job to take care of a lot of people out here. So.
Days later, the city suspended EMR's junkyard license for the shredder site and ordered it to cease operations. The company has since sued the city, calling the suspension groundless. In the coming days, the city plans to reevaluate whether to allow the shredder to restart. In the meantime, residents like Biles want the facility to shut down for good.
Move them away. It's very hazardous.
Sophia Schmidt, WHYY News.
Katrina Janko and WHYY's Kim Painter contributed to this story. As part of the celebration of America's 250th birthday this year, a recent performance on Cherry Street Pier paid homage to the black woman who sold pepper pot soup on the cobblestone streets of colonial Philadelphia. WHYY's Peter Cremins reports on Philadelphia's most liberating soup.
Pepper pot was a hearty stew of leafy greens, root vegetables, cheap cuts of meat, simmered with Caribbean spices. In old Philadelphia, around the time of the Revolution, black women cooked and sold pepper pot as a street food. They would cry out, "Pepper pot, smoking hot."
One of the cool things about the story of pepper pot is that there were these songs associated with selling it that women sang on the streets of Philadelphia.
This is Bill Adair. He's the executive director of Art Philly.
So you can sort of imagine what Philadelphia sounded like in 1776.
In Adair's What Now 2026 festival, the Pepper Pot Peddler song gets a modern update.
It's hot, it's hot, it's fresh, it's fresh. I'm calling you to taste and taste the best. The best. Best. All right. It's hot, it's hot.
That is singer Lauren Lark, backed up by Elle Morris and Joe Stunkenasse, singing one of a suite of Pepper Pot songs composed by Kendra Butler Waters.
The music mixes jazz, there's Caribbean elements of reggae, soca, there's elements of R&B. I'm drawing on the African-American experience of music, trying to convey a story through not only the lyrics, but through the melodies.
Butler Waters' songs will be part of a multidisciplinary performance this weekend, featuring spoken word poetry, visual art, textile art, and, of course, soup for tasting. Pepper pot comes from African and Caribbean cuisine that black women brought to America. Despite other colonial cities having sizable free black populations at the time, the soup took root only in Philadelphia. Artist Ashake Denise Brown, who has been researching pepper pot women for years as part of her practice, said this was a uniquely Philly John.
There's something about the energy here in Philadelphia, and I can speak to African-American energy. Think about creativity, think about the music, you think about the art. This is another example, culinary art, of something brewing here in these Philadelphia streets.
The performance, part of the What Now Festival, is curated by V. Shane Frederick, who said the women selling pepper pot would move between and among all of Philadelphia's racial and economic strata.
They would serve these soups in taverns and places, so they also heard things and said things, thinking about what these black women in early United States, what they'd be talking about, probably things like slavery, politics, and these women had their, literally had their ears to the streets. This is much deeper than just soup.
Peter Cremins, WHYY News.
This is The Source. I'm your host, Kenny Cooper. A farm and a nonprofit in Bucks County have forged a unique partnership to fight food waste and hunger. WHYY's Emily Neal reports.
That is the sound of 1,000 happy chickens. They're rushing out to peck away at lettuce and tussle over berries. Eric Kretschmann calls it the salad bar for his chickens at Hidden Valley Farm. The greens are spoiled produce from the Warminster Food Bank.
You know, a chicken is like an egg printer. It'll print out what you kind of, the ink and the paper and everything that you put into it. So if you put in really good stuff, you'll get really good stuff. So we kind of pride ourselves on trying to make sure that we're giving them the best inputs as we can.
The farm then sends dozens of these eggs to the food bank each week, where they're given to hundreds of food insecure families in Bucks County and Eastern Montgomery County. The egg donation is a big boost to the food bank's budget, says Brian Fodish. He's the director of operations for Warminster Food Bank.
So to get farm fresh grade A brown eggs for free, and a lot of our produce fed those chickens, you know, to make them healthy and ready to give us eggs, it's a perfect relationship.
The partnership also adds to the quality of the groceries the food bank provides, Fodish says.
The beautiful part of it, the eggs that we get are typically laid within 24 hours, 36 hours. So you can't get much more fresh eggs than what we're providing our guests.
Back at the farm, the resident pigs happily clean up whatever produce isn't fit for the chickens. They trot around with a mouthful of bagels and chow down on pineapples, carrots, and other delicacies. Any leftovers, including the cardboard boxes the produce is delivered in, then goes into the farm's on-site compost. Kretschmann says the partnership is a way to care for the environment.
We grow food, so we know what it's like. You have to plant it, you have to weed it, you have to tend to it, you have to pick it, you have to pack it. So everything that goes into food that you see in the food store, there's a lot of energy behind that. So it's terrible when it goes basically into a landfill. It's better if it goes into a human, but if it can sort of circle back in and stay in the environment, I think it's good.
And as for the chickens, they're definitely not complaining. Emily Neal, WHYY News.
Finally, we take a look back at Philly's soccer summer with WHYY's Jennifer Lynn, who introduced us to the creators of Todos Cantan Gol, a bilingual soccer anthem created in Philly that celebrates the passion and culture of the game of soccer.
Desde el barrio hasta la cima, cada calle baila y vibra. Las banderas van al cielo, hoy el mundo juega en mi suelo.
It's from Philly-based composer Alex Moreno Singer of Venezuela. His powerful voice blends with Philly-born artist Ariel Bell.
Now the world plays here tonight. Come on, Philly, bring the fire. Now my team is climbing higher.
Vamos, Philly, con pasión. En la cancha cantando.
Rapper Udini Lavos pushes the song to another level, like the top row seats at the stadium.
Bring the block to the big stage, we elevate the sound. Every street got the beat, honey shaking the ground. Flocks up high, lit skies, whole city in the air. Let the world place care.
Feel the love everywhere.
More borders in the soul, reconnected by the drum. Different colors, same fire when the beat we come. Hands up, chill out, let the stadium glow. When the ball start rolling,
everybody get up.
Lavas grew up watching World Cup soccer as a kid in Panama.
Everybody was stuck to the TV, and after the games was over, we would go outside and play soccer.
Bell says she pushed herself vocally to match the passion for the sport.
Even though I'm not a Latina, being from Philadelphia and the World Cup being in Philadelphia, I was like, oh, I would love to be a part. You know, I can be the Philadelphian, you know, aspect.
Lavas says Philly as a FIFA host city and what that's doing for the Latino community and all of soccer is mind-blowing. By the way, Todos Cantan Gol means everyone sings goal.
Thanks for joining us for The Source, powered by WHYY News and Billy Penn. We leave you with a Billy Pennism, a bit of wit and wisdom from Pennsylvania's founder, William Penn.
The secret of happiness is to count your blessings while others are adding up their troubles.
The Source is a production of WHYY News. I'm your host, Kenny Cooper. Our executive producer is Sarah Glover. WHYY's Vice President of News and Civic Dialogue. Our editor is Mark Eichmann, WHYY's News Director. Alan Tu is the audio editor. Our engineers are Charlie Kyer and Diana Martinez. Funding for this podcast has been provided by WHYY and the Linfest Institute for Journalism. Please rate and review this content wherever you get your podcasts and share on social media. Visit WHYY.org for more news stories. Thanks for listening.